Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, have you ever wondered how you ever got into certain relationships in your life? And why would you have if you only knew better? Maybe you did. Maybe there are underlying circumstances that you had no idea about having to do with your soul's plan. And we're going to look at that in great detail with the author of a number of books. One is called Your Soul's Plan, another is Your Soul's Gift. And now he has a recent book out that a lot of you will want to explore about your own relationships, because it's called Your Soul's Love. So the author, he'll explain why he knows this information and how he has the experience to present it to us. And he's been on the show before, so we're so happy to have him back. Robert Schwartz, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Well, I'm so glad to talk with you, because so many people don't understand that they could have ever planned their life before they were born, including relationships. Not only they plan it, but plan it with others. That makes it even, and it's complicated. And I have questions to ask you about that. But let's get started with how you know this information.
Well, if I may, let me begin by saying my website is yoursoulsplan.com. And if your audience goes there, they can read large portions of the three books for free.
Wow.
The way that I know about people's pre-birth plans, two ways. In the first two books, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift, I worked with several very gifted mediums and channels who in one way or another could find out what somebody planned before they were born. So one of them, for example, channels people's souls, people's higher selves. Another one is able to talk with deceased loved ones. Another one channels angels, some of whom serve as guides to people once they're in body. One of them hears the conversations we have with each other in our pre-birth planning sessions. Then there's a woman, a channel in the Netherlands, who channels Jesus, and another woman in Michigan who channels an ascended master named Aaron. So in the first two books, all of the information comes from mediumship and channeling. Now in the new book, Your Soul's Love, I incorporated the between lives regressions that I do as a hypnotist. So in that, it's a long process, usually takes 2 to 3 hours. And the client or the interviewee goes to talk with a group of beings known as the Council of Elders. These are the very wise, loving, and highly evolved beings who oversee reincarnation on Earth. And they know literally everything about everybody, the plan for the current lifetime, and also every past life everybody has had.
Now, this isn't just one council out there. Aren't there personal councils so that we all have, of course, these are great wise ones who help a lot of people, but it's not one council that helps everybody.
No, I suspect that there probably is one council overseeing the other councils. People have their own Council of Elders, and there's a lot of variety and variability in terms of who is on somebody's council. Some people have ascended masters like Jesus or Saint Germain or Kuan Yin on their council. Some people have angels or archangels. Some people have spirit guides. Some people have quote unquote deceased loved ones. So there's a lot of variability in that. There's also variability in the number of beings who are on somebody's council. But the bottom line being that your council, whoever they may be, they know everything about your plan for the current lifetime. And so when you get in front of your council, that is potentially a life-changing experience, because if it's for your highest good, they can answer literally any question you put to them. And a lot of people will come out of a between-life soul regression and they'll say things like, I have no more questions about my life. They answered every question I asked. And the session is also notable for the fact that the council anybody's counsel is unconditionally loving and completely non-judgmental. So people always talk about this great unconditional love they feel coming from the counsel and the total absence of judgment. And they'll say things like, I could tell that the counsel knew everything about me, including every bad thing I've done in my life. And yet they had no judgment of me and they loved me unconditionally. And you know, that kind of unconditional love is our natural state of being when we're home on the other side. But for the average person, they don't experience that in incarnate form unless they do this kind of regression. So it's a homecoming of sorts. It reminds people of what our lives on the other side are like.
I once did a between life regression, and I don't think I got deep enough. I did have some really good experiences there, but not as explicit as meeting my counsel. But I was with some guides, and I did meet my higher self, and I got to see my two sons, and this goes back before I was born, but I got to see their energies. I didn't see them visually, but I got to see about them and understood what some qualities they were going to come here with.
Yeah, those kinds of things happen frequently as well. It's really a very, very powerful type of session. And you can get information in a between lives regression that is very hard to come by through any other means.
I'm sure. It's because you can go so deep. And you know, when you use hypnosis, people don't realize the power of it and what it can do for us and have opportunities. I used to, when I was young, I learned how to hypnotize people from a guy who was studying dentistry, and he learned and he taught me. And I was hypnotizing kids who maybe they were 13, 14 years old, and I would regress them back to 1 year at a time and have them open their eyes and sign their signature. And then close their eyes again, take them back another year. And on one sheet of paper, we had the whole history of how their signature evolved.
That's really interesting. I've not heard of anybody doing that before.
Yeah, I don't know whether I invented it or whether I was taught that, but I just felt excited to do it. And because it taught me the power of our minds when we're under hypnosis, how we can go back in time and record everything. And because everything is recorded, so we can find out. And we don't realize how much is recorded, but it's really everything.
Right.
And we can't imagine where it could be stored. But it's not stored in our brains. And that's something I've done radio shows about, where there's an explicit reality and an implicit reality. And the implicit is even more vast than the external universe that we know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why it can hold so much information. So this is fascinating to talk with you about your journeys because I think it's so important to help people be responsible for their relationships. And you identify, you help people identify how they've chosen them.
Yeah, so when people get in front of their counsel, relationships is one of the main topics they ask about, of course. And generally they'll focus on challenging relationships. And they'll say, you know, why is this person my spouse? Why is this person my mother, my father, my sister, brother, daughter, son? And you get it from two perspectives. You find out why that person, the client, chose those people, but you also find out why those people chose the client for whatever role they're playing in their lives. And it's always usually based on service to others in some form. You agree to play certain roles for the major people in your life, and they agree to play certain roles for you. so that you can learn whatever lessons it is you came into body to learn. A lot of it
could be very harsh too.
That happens. We ask sometimes that people play very harsh roles for each other. That was my experience. I mean, I grew up in a family where my mother was actually quite emotionally abusive to me. And I wondered for years and years, you know, why did this happen? Why was she like that? And part of it, or a lot of it, has to do with the fact that in past lives, I was not successful cultivating self-love. And so you might say, well, how does an abusive parent help somebody to cultivate self-love? This is what I refer to as the learning through opposites life plan. You frequently plan to experience the exact opposite of what you want to eventually learn or cultivate, because the experience of the opposite from a pre-birth planning viewpoint is seen as providing you both the opportunity and the motivation to cultivate whatever you want to cultivate. So for example, let's say that somebody wants to deepen in compassion in their next incarnation. They would frequently plan to be born into a family that will treat them with a profound lack of compassion. That is intended to drive them within, where hopefully they will cultivate self-compassion. And then if they're successful doing that, later in life, they'll take the self-compassion and turn it outward in some form of service to others. That's what learning through opposites is all about.
Wow. And yet, who wants to take on the role of being the harsh parent or partner?
Well, you know, we see those conversations in the pre-birth planning sessions, and there's a lot of variability there. Sometimes other souls are quite willing to take on the harsh role. And as odd as it may sound, they're actually doing it out of love for the soul that's requesting them to play the harsh role. And then about the same amount of time, there are other souls who are quite reluctant to play the harsh role. And the soul who is making that request more or less has to talk them into it and assure them, this is for my highest good. This is what I want. I am going to utilize this very challenging relationship to cultivate whatever virtues I want to cultivate in the next lifetime.
Right. And it could have to do with abandonment or physical or sexual abuse.
Yeah, it could be any of those things. In the workshops that I do in person and online, we do an exercise I developed called the Divine Virtues Exercise that gives you insight into the qualities you're working on. And the way that exercise came about is that over a period of years, as I listened to many conversations in many pre-birth planning sessions, what I noticed is that when souls were planning great challenges, the planning was motivated quite often by a soul level desire to cultivate and express certain qualities that are important to the soul. And I gave those qualities the name divine virtues. In the exercise, there's a list of about 28 that we work with that have come up quite frequently. And they're things like unconditional love, patience, empathy, compassion, acceptance, presence, and so on. The average person is working on two or three in a lifetime. So occasionally somebody's working on four or five. And the pre-birth planning of the challenges, again, is intended to give them the opportunity and the motivation to cultivate and express the virtues.
Right. And every soul coming in wants to advance themselves as well, and not just being the dark partner, but because how does that advance them?
Yeah, the planning is mutually beneficial. So the dark soul, for example, they may be bringing back into body unhealed energies like anger or fear, which they were not successful healing in one or more past lives. And the intention in bringing those energies back into body is to eventually heal them. But it's understood that as the healing process is taking place, the anger, the fear, whatever it might be, may prompt that person to act in harsh ways. And so the attitude of the soul that might receive the harsh treatment is, I will utilize this, I will work with this to foster my own growth, cultivate the virtues I want to cultivate. But the soul's intention is never to stay in an abusive situation indefinitely. souls plan to be in abusive situations for some period of time to master their own virtues and to give other souls the opportunity to heal. But if the other soul that's playing the harsh role does not succeed in healing, the pre-birth plan is always that the person will eventually leave the relationship. Now, everybody has free will, so some people choose not to leave the abusive relationship, but that is not the soul's desire. The soul does not want anybody to stay permanently in an abusive relationship.
But what if it's a parent that doesn't get out of their way? And although I've worked with a lot of people over the years who had abusive childhoods and then later in life were at some sort of peace with their parent.
Yeah, I would put myself in that category. You know, when I think back to my experiences, the way I feel now is that my mother did the best she could. She was working with a lot of her own unhealed energies, which she has not been successful in healing. And so presumably she will carry those forward into body in another incarnation, in another attempt to heal them. But even in that case, you know, the child obviously for 16 or 18 years, whatever it might be, is going to be in that abusive situation, but at some point they're going to leave home. So again, the intention is not to stay there indefinitely.
Although the scars might be so great that it really disturbs the future. And so many people, and I've worked with many people who really can't get a handle of peace in their lives because they have PTSD from their childhood.
That happens quite a bit. And that's why we have so many healing modalities in the world. And I think that's why over a much longer period of time, we're going to move away from this learning through suffering paradigm that we seem to have been in for eons. I don't think it's going to continue like that. I think when the Earth completes her ascension process, whenever you believe that to be, I think at that point, things will be done at a much higher vibrational level. And hopefully we won't need suffering in order to learn and grow.
Right. And people who are currently suffering very likely will be cleared of that as their consciousness expands.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know. We'll see. But yeah, we can be optimistic. But in the meantime, you know, it's so important to appreciate our plan, and as painful as it is. And I have, what about, you know, souls that choose to like come in as children and then die early, and their parents just suffer for, you know, in grief for decades after?
Yeah, in those situations, my understanding is that the soul of the child, for any number of reasons, only wants to be here for a very short period of time. For example, it could be a young soul who hasn't incarnated on Earth before, and they basically just want to dip a toe in the water, so to speak, to see what it's all about. The parents agree to that pre-birth plan because they know that the pain from losing the child will break their hearts open. And through that painful process, they become much more empathic, much more compassionate. There's all kinds of divine virtues that can be developed from an experience like that.
Right. I know two parents who've recently lost their child, who I always thought were wonderful people with great compassion and empathy, and did their best to save their child and couldn't, and don't know what they don't understand how they could have failed their child. But then again, everything is in divine order. So this child before birth knew that he was going to have this short life, right?
Right, and this would be where between life soul regression would be extremely valuable, because one of the things you can do, those parents that you just mentioned, when they get in front of their council of elders, they can ask the council to bring in their child. And then they can talk to the child directly and say, why did you want to transition at this very young age? Why, remind us, why did we agree to such a painful plan? And invariably, the child will assure them this is what I wanted. This is what we agreed to. You did not fail me in any way. This is for my highest good. And believe it or not, it's also for your highest good. And when they hear it directly from the child, that makes all the difference.
Right. But that's the magic of hypnotic regression, because you're getting a direct experience. You're not just hearing about it from someone else. You're in the presence of your child and your counsel.
Yeah, you know, I just taught an online course through the Shift Network, and there was a woman in the course whose young daughter had died, and she was able to connect. It wasn't in a between lives regression. We did a different kind of regression called contact a deceased loved one. But she was able to speak directly with her daughter as though the daughter were there physically in body in the room. And the daughter assured her, we agreed to this. It's for my highest good. It's for your highest good. I'm fine. I'm well. I'm thriving over here on the other side. You did not fail me in any way. And it was just tremendously, tremendously healing for the mother.
I'm sure. I know, because I'm, you know, I have great feeling of the grief. I have a cousin who lost his 14-year-old daughter years ago in a car crash. And he hasn't been the same since. It would be great for him to connect with her directly.
Yeah, to anybody who has unresolved grief or unresolved anger, a lack of forgiveness, those are things that can be profoundly addressed in a between lives regression.
Wow, this is such a great opportunity. I'm so glad I'm speaking with you and that you have these books that really help people, because most people don't understand that there's this opportunity.
Yeah, the between lives regression isn't as well known as a past life regression, for example. And I don't know what the reason is for that, other than the fact that it's a newer form of hypnosis. It was developed back in the 1990s by Michael Newton, who pioneered the whole field.
And he was on my show some years ago before
he passed.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so he's the genius who created this field. I think someday it will overtake past life regression in popularity, probably by quite a margin, because it's a much more powerful session.
Well, yes, it has much more information, but I do like past life regressions only because they're educational as well as entertaining. You know, I got to see myself in my previous life, and I was a good-looking guy. I was in India, and I was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. My name was Kamal Gangali. So I'm so happy to know that about my past, but I some of us, myself included, question how deep we might be able to go in a regression to get to all of these places that will help us so much. Is everybody capable of going that deep?
I believe that everybody has the ability to do it, but some people need more practice than others. The people who need more practice tend to be very analytic, either by nature or by training or by both. So the people who are more intuitive, more right hemisphere kind of people, they have an easier time of it. But, you know, going into trance is a skill. And as with any skill, someone can become more proficient with practice. So I always encourage people, you know, if it doesn't work the first time, if that kind of work continues to resonate with you, keep at it, because you can reasonably expect to improve the more you do it.
And do you teach people how to practice on themselves? And then, you know, because I'm sure that working with someone like you, you can take them deeper than they can on it by themselves, generally.
Well, I do, it's a very easy thing to do at home on your own. As far as I know, there are no recordings of between lives inductions, but there are obviously many of past life inductions. All you have to do is get yourself one recording of a past life hypnotic induction. Work with it multiple times at home until you succeed at getting yourself into a past life. And then when you do, The recording will progress you through the past life to the death scene. And then at the death scene, the recording will end. Well, you set an intention to keep going. So you set an intention to leave the body in the death scene in the past life and cross back over to the other side, which I realize might sound a little bit ominous, but there's actually nothing to it. It's very easy and gentle. When you get back to the other side, call for one of your spirit guides. Ask your guide any questions you have about the past life and why you were shown that particular past life at this particular time. And then ask your guide to take you to your console. When you get to the console, ask any questions you have about your current lifetime. You could practice that at home on your own for free as many times as you want to. And again, the more you do it, the better you will get at it.
Well, let's come back to how they can access this through your website.
So the website is yoursoulsplan.com. If you click on sessions in the main menu, that will take you to a page that will tell you everything you could ever want to know about a between lives soul regression. And if you scroll about halfway down on that page, there's actually a 1 hour video of me doing a between lives soul regression with somebody. So you can see exactly what it consists of.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad to talk with you. We're really getting right to the end of the show. And I'm sure we could talk for hours about this because it's such a wonderful topic and so helpful to everybody. And I want to thank you for doing what you do with this.
Well, I appreciate that. And I want to thank you for having your show. I think your show is a beautiful form of service to the world.
Well, thank you. I love it. I hope we speak again soon. There's so much more to explore about this. And Robert Schwartz, the author of the Your Soul's Gift, Your Soul's Plan, and Your Soul's Love. And thanks so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
My pleasure.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.